This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio. Good afternoon, people. We are back. It's Friday. And I'm afraid Noel, sad news, Noel is still in Canada. He's still at the Toronto Film Festival. But as a fill-in today, I've got my good friend Jack Binstead. He's here in the studio with me.
Yo,
say hi, Jack.
Yo, how you doing?
And people might recognise you from a very well-known TV series and a movie. So just tell the folks at home a bit about you, Jack.
Okay, so I'm known for playing Remdog in Bad Education, the series, and then the film. That's what I'm mostly known for, yeah.
The Bad Education. Well, you're a fellow actor mate of mine.
Yes.
We met earlier this year. Last year? This year?
This year.
Where are we? We're in September now, aren't we?
I don't know. It was March yesterday, wasn't it?
I know. It's scary. It's going to be Christmas next week.
And I met you in May, around about May.
Okay,
we were just doing some filming.
We got together and then we made lots of comedy sketches online as well.
We've done a fair few, haven't we?
If you want to check out Jack Binstead and us online, find our Facebooks. But good to have you on the show. Thank you so much for filling in.
You are more than welcome.
What a laugh. And it's going to be an exciting show. We have got a lot of cool guests on today.
It's a busy show.
It's very busy. We've got D-Dark coming in the next half an hour. We've got Doc Brown. We've got Teresa Iacocca and Michael Landes, who is in a brand new Sky TV show at the moment called Hooter and the Lady, which I'm so excited for.
I've heard about that.
It starts, well, you'll see it plastered everywhere.
Yeah.
Sky are doing a big
I've seen that.
And super excited about that. He was also in, I'll tell you, you'll know where he's from. You know the original Superman TV series in the 90s?
No.
The Lois Lane and Clark.
Yeah, of course.
He played Jimmy in that. You know, like the main little guy. Yeah, and like, oh, he's all grown up now, and he's rather dashingly handsome, and he's bagged himself a lead in the new Sky series. So
that's ridiculous.
Super cool to talk to him and see what's going on the American side of Hollywood at the moment.
Joe.
Yeah, and we've also got Lucy coming back in to do more film reviews. We're going to let you know what is coming out in the cinema this week and over the next week. Got some film reviews, movie quizzes. So stay tuned and do not feel scared to get in contact with us at FUBAR Radio. You can go to the Twitter. We've got a Twitter at FUBAR Radio. Or you can email us in at chill@fubarradio.com and email us. Just tell us what you're up to tonight, your weekend, what you fancy seeing. It's raining at the moment. It's awful, isn't it?
I could not believe it. I woke up this morning, saw rain. It'd been hot for the last, month.
It's been
a heat wave.
And then it's raining, but I actually quite like a little bit of rain after all that heat and all that sweat.
Such a good chill.
And I think it's perfect because I'm going to the cinema tonight myself.
Are you really?
That's what I'm doing.
Oh, my Friday.
I'm going to see Bridget Jones's Baby.
Got to be done.
And I have seen it already. This is my second attempt.
Have you seen it already?
I went to the premiere.
Of course you did.
A week or two ago.
Of course you did.
But it was so funny. I was like, I'm going to get some mates and I'm going to go again because it was a total pick-me-up. So I'm quite happy that it's raining because then I'm not missing anything, really.
I have a slightly more crazy night.
What are you doing?
Well, I do wish I was actually going to see that at the cinema.
I'm doing
some promo work in a club, so I've got to show my face.
Well, I'll be sitting in a nice, cosy cinema, stuffing my face with popcorn.
And I'll be sitting in a bar, stuffing my face with drinks.
And the ladies.
I'm in a wheelchair power.
Which is cool. So, yeah, we've got loads of stuff going on and whatnot. I'm really excited about the guests that we've got on today.
Definitely.
And what films have you been... Have you seen any films recently? Talking about films?
Yes. I'll tell you what I just saw. I just saw the new psychological thriller, Don't Breathe.
Isn't that a horror?
Horror, psychological. I thought it was a horror going into it, but really it's a lot more sort of a thriller.
Okay, could you just... Because I don't do horror films, so I don't even look at the trailers. If you could just tell the folks out there, within sort of 10 seconds, roughly what the film's about...
So the film is about a blind man who has his house broken into by three robbers. And it turns out he has pretty special hearing and knows exactly where they are. Dun, dun, dun.
No, okay, sorry. I'm just fucking around with the thing. Okay, well, that did actually make me feel pretty chilled. Okay,
that scared me and I've already seen it.
You just scared yourself, what I mean. No, okay, cool, amazing. Yeah, well, I've seen... Bridget Jones, we're talking of scary movies. What is out today is the new Blair Witch, which we have spoken about previously.
Yes.
But I've seen that. I went to a screening last week.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. And I wanted not to because I don't really enjoy... I love thrillers and things that make you jump and stuff, but I don't like horror, proper horror
stuff. See, I enjoy horror. I love every aspect of horror, but I just wasn't a fan of the first film.
Right.
And so going into the second film, I'm just a little bit I want to watch it because I just have to go see it anyway, but I know I'm a bit...
The only reason why I managed to stay so glued to it, despite the horrorness and that it absolutely messes with your mind, is the fact that they've really updated it. It's like 20 years later from the original story, and the original one was just a handheld camera in the woods. It cost like something like $30,000 to make and made millions. This one has got money in it, and they've updated it, because nowadays, think of the technology that we've got. We've got cameras on every single phone that anyone has.
Sure.
You've got cameras probably like on your watch, on your shoes, like whatever. There's cameras
on your shoes.
There probably is a pair of shoes that has a camera in them, I'm just saying. Probably somewhere in the world.
Jay-Z probably owns them all.
But they've got things like drones now, webcams, like these kids, they go off into the Blair Witch Forest looking for the original girl.
Do you not reckon, though, it takes the edge away from the film? Because of the first film, I only had handheld cameras. It was that sort of, like, you know... Oh.
Well, this is all... It's all, you know, it's all vlogging cameras, and it switches between the vlogging, the webcam, the drone. So it's...
Yeah, and I can imagine that's pretty scary.
I found it really good. Although, my only... if I was going to critique it, I don't think it should be called Blair Witch. I think it should be called People Screaming People's Names in the Woods. Because literally the entire film is just like...
Is that not nearly every horror film anyway? Though?
Possibly.
That would really confuse. Oh, which one of the 2,700 films did you just quote in one go there?
You know, I think writers, they really need to think long and hard about what they call characters in horror films, because they will have that name scream. Like, if you look at it, a lot of them end with like an open mouth, like it's like, Peter! Sarah! Yeah. It wouldn't have the same effect if you were like,
Malcolm!
Tim! Yeah, something with a mouth closed doesn't work.
Jonathan!
Tim!
Just go in the forest, go, Jack, Jack, Jack.
Yeah, so all like really hard to pronounce names. I would like to make a horror movie with open, like closed mouth names
only,
and really hard to pronounce foreign names.
Like what?
I'm trying to think of a really hard to pronounce foreign name without being racist.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Jesus! Yeah, man. But no, excited. So I gave Blair Witch a massive thumbs up, and I gave Bridget Jones's Baby a massive thumbs up. So I'm excited about that. Well, we're going to get our first guest in a moment. It's Teresa Iacocco. She is going to tell us all about her show Girls at the Soho Theatre. I'm loving the Soho Theatre at the moment. I think Jack just burned his mouth.
Oh my God, I just twisted my coffee and I burned my mouth totally. That was so hot. Great.
It's okay. You can recover. Do you want some water?
No, I'm all right. I'm just going to have my tongue out for the rest of the show.
Great start, Jack. Literally. Your premiere radio debut.
Blisters on my
burning your mouth. Amazing. But Therese's going to be in the studio. She's going to tell us all about her show. I'm super excited. Because have you ever done theatre, Jack?
I have, actually. I've done it once last year.
What did you do?
I was on tour for 3 months doing, and it was more of like an educational theatre tour. So I was in schools.
Right, okay. Still theatre.
Yeah, yeah. And it was based around the lives of two people in wheelchairs who are bullied, and it's their, you know, their journey to try and show the world that they are no different from anybody else, you know, that they need a wheelchair, of course they do, but they're not made any different, they're still humans, they're still, you know, like everybody else. And so that was, and it's to teach kids in schools, you know, that's a really judgmental place can be, is in school, that, you know, your peers are your peers, it doesn't matter whether they're walking or not, because quite a lot of people had disabilities, so it was nice to sort of get that message across.
Well, yeah, okay. Because people on the radio, if you don't know about Jack, but Jack, he rolls around life in a chair.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't actually need it. I just like free parking, but I do have a wheelchair, yeah.
Totally rinse the system, don't you? You can walk, you can walk.
I don't, yeah, it's just laziness.
But actually, that's how me and you bonded, because I'm a little bit disabled too.
I forget that every time.
I wear hearing aids, so we kind of bonded overall.
I'm getting pretty deaf myself. give me a year and I'll be like tone deaf.
You can borrow my aids anytime, mate, anytime.
Sharing in.
Right, okay, we're going to go to a song now, and we're going to go and welcome Teresa in the studio, and we're going to hear all about the theatre, what's going on at the moment. So the song I've chosen at the moment, because we always go for movie-themed songs.
Of course.
Have you ever seen the film The Breakfast Club? It's a classic 80s.
Obviously seen The Breakfast Club.
It's the classic 80s, one of my favourite 80s teen films. And this is a song called Don't You Forget About Me by a band called Simple Minds. So I think let's listen to this. It's Friday. Let's get in the spirit.
Ooh, let's do it.
I just kicked.
Not a good start.
I just kicked the whole desk. Here we go.
Hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. your troubles and doubts, given me everything inside and out. And love's strange, so real in the dark. Think of the tender things that we were working on. Slow change may pull us apart. When a light gets in your heart, baby, don't you forget about me.
Welcome back. In the studio, we've got Teresa. Is it Teresa Iacocca?
Iacocca.
Oh, damn it. You know, when the name,
so
I don't
close.
Know. I just pick it and say it with confidence.
So close.
Okay. But sorry about that.
It's all right.
Well, welcome so much on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So your new show, or is it new?
It's my first play.
Your first ever play.
Yeah.
And it's called Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be shown at the Soho Theatre later this month.
It is, yeah.
So just like tell us how it came about, your first show. How did you get your first show in the Soho Theatre?
So I wrote Girls after a conversation I had with one of my friends, Daniel Bailey, who's a director.
Mm.
And I tend to write stuff because I feel like it's like someone's, I was trying to figure out how to say this without sounding weird, it's like someone's like kind of revealing themselves to you and then you get really curious about them. And I wrote Girls and then I sent it off to Verity Bargate. It's an award that Soho Theatre hosts, and then an Alfred Fagan Award, and it was shortlisted for Verity Bargate, and it won Alfred Fagan. So then they were like, Let's Talk About. It. So Soho, High Tide and Talawa Theatre Company co-produced it. So yeah, it's exciting.
That's so exciting. And had you had writing experience before, or did you just take a whack at?
So I've been writing now. I'm still really new, so I still consider myself like super new, like I'm winging it.
Super fresh.
Yeah. I had written something before, and that's how I got to know Talawa, because I wrote this thing that I didn't know what it was, and they saw something in it and they put it on. They have this festival every year called the Talawa First, and they kind of just, you know, give new emerging kind of talent that want to explore. They give them a platform to do that, and they gave me a platform to try something, and they've just been really supportive ever since.
So it's called Girls. Mm-hmm. Can we have a brief sort of rundown?
Yeah.
What is it about? And
Girls to me is about...
it's about girls, right?
It's about girls.
Okay, yeah. That would be weird if it was a load of blokes, maybe.
Strange things have happened. So it's about female friendship and how special I feel like it is, and how important it is, and the way that we love each other and protect each other, the way I was saying to my friend earlier, like I feel like women are transformers. We are built to survive, and we are capable of all sorts of thing. And we just watch these three girls be everything that women are, and also suffer everything that women do, and the way that women always, we watch them survive. And yeah, I feel like that's what it's about.
A little bit of girl power right there.
Girl power, yeah. Girl power. Like, literally, I'm just there like, yeah, okay. So you're going to have people coming out of the theatre just being all like...
Sassy
as fuck. Basically.
I like that. We should put coming that in the tagline.
Out, coming out with like a catwalk. Like, I own this shit.
Yeah, I'm going to send an email. That should be in the like promo poster.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And did you have any... choice in or any sort of input into the casting or the design of the show, or like, so you wrote it? But
yeah, I did actually. All the companies involved are really supportive, so they just kind of let me, like I said, it's my first thing, so everyone kind of just let me tag along. So I went to most of the auditions, and Nadine Rennie, the casting director at Soho, she's just like the coolest person. I just learned so much, and I learned patience.
Yeah.
Because hearing your own thing over and over.
Oh my gosh.
And over again.
Yeah.
And then but it was really good for me actually, because then I remembered some of the things that I'd cut. I was like, oh, I liked that. Like after hearing it 12 times in an audition room, I was like, oh, maybe I should put that back in. So I learned a lot, and it was just really interesting, because for me, I was like, when I saw an actor that I really, really liked, I was like, oh, please like me, please like me, please like me. And now the three ladies that we have now, and having this conversation with them about how desperate I was for them, and they also saying that how desperate they were to do the show, it was like, oh.
So it was just right.
They were just needed each other.
The three. So it's three girls here. I've got a little photo in front of me. Well, they're gorgeous girls. Okay, and so you're going to end up at the Soho Theatre, but you're touring a little bit before that, before you get. So if you're not in London, you can catch it other places.
Yeah, we're at Aldbury now for the High Tide Festival. We opened there last week, and we closed there on Sunday, and then we open at Birmingham Rep on Tuesday.
Birmingham,
brilliant.
Birmingham. Well, that's really empowering, yeah, because it's quite hot. As an actress, I used to go and try and find monologues and pieces to do with, and it was quite hard to find something that is female fellowship based.
Oh.
It's yes, it's great that there's a couple of plays that I've, like The Acid Test, which is about sort of three girls, but this is exciting news.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely gonna come along and see this.
Yeah, I'd love
to. Let me know when you do come.
Then that's exciting.
Have you got wheelchair access? I'll be pissed off otherwise.
I mean, I'd be pissed off for you as well.
I think the Soho Theatre is pretty good. It's pretty modern.
There's a lift.
There's a
I know that. I've been in it.
That's so exciting. So what next? So now, because obviously this has been successful as a first show, have you got ideas for that? Have you written more?
Yeah, I actually
are you going to write boys?
No, they get enough attention. They don't need
I want my damn sequel.
I actually wrote Girls when I was on commission with Talawa writing something else. So that play that I wrote the play that I was supposed to be writing while I was writing Girls, I finished that now. It's called The Story of Khadija Katenge, another female lead.
Alright, okay.
So hopefully we can do some work with that, and I'm just having fun trying to take as many opportunities to write as many stories that have as many important people to me and the people that I know just trying to, you know, make the screen and stage a little bit
busy, busy, busy.
That's really inspiring, because I know that for years I loved story writing and I had so many ideas in my head and I was like, oh, this would be a really funny story, that would be a funny film, that would be a great short film, but I was absolutely petrified of writing anything down for fear that people would be like, who do you think you are? Like, you have not trained in writing scripts. Or and so it was only this year when I sort of met you, Jack, and then we actually sat down and went, actually, we can write some funny stuff. Like, there's no rules. Anyone can put pen to paper or type down or just scribble down your ideas and kind of like stuff if what people think. Like, if you find it funny, if you find it interesting and you want to tell it, like, just tell it. And I found the freedom after I realised that I don't give a shit.
It's such a creative way to express yourself, you know, putting your thoughts and your ideas and imagination onto paper and making that come alive. That's incredible. I love that.
Is it weird having like words that you thought of in your own mind and having somebody else say them? Is it was it like, oh,
it is? And it's like, I don't know, it's just such a special thing, especially because the three ladies, Anita Joy, Abiola and Yvette, the actors in the play, they are, I kind of just feel like, I don't know, like they were born to be these girls. And, and when they are, when they, you know, when they're on stage or even when they just read and it's like, oh, this was, I did this because they were supposed to be these girls. And then, and the friendship that they, the characters have, I can see in the three actresses when they're like, the favourite thing that me and the director, Elise, one of our favourite things is to watch the three actresses, like when they're down, in their downtime, just watch them chatting away and how they like play with each other, and we're just like, oh, like they're actually
becoming friends.
There's something about that kind of dynamic, and it just kind of bleeds off the stage and into real life. And when during one of the rehearsals, they showed me this dance and song number, like that the characters, you know, when like girls, we always used to do like,
oh yeah, we are the Spice Girls at home with hairbrushes and everything.
Same, same.
Was I the only guy that did that then, or you know?
Male Spice.
That was missing diversity. They should have been a male Spice.
Penis Spice.
Ball bag Spice.
That's a bit weird. Okay. But yeah, okay. So like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You found them. You found what your brain thought of. It's like a premonition almost.
Yeah, that's a good word. It is like a premonition. And watching them be together when they did that song and dance, like, I got like, I'm not an emotional person, but I got really like, I just started crying because I was so happy to watch these friends, like, aww, the characters. And I kind of wasn't sure whether I was watching characters or actors or whatever it was, but it was this like amazing dynamic that I feel like I felt so privileged to have been a part of making.
Do you act yourself or do you just write?
God, no. Like, no. I feel like that's the worst thing. That's the worst. It's the hardest job.
It's the best job.
It's amazing.
It's our favourite job.
I couldn't do anything else. Yeah. Because I'm crap at everything else.
The judgment, like, even like with the writing, and people don't have to see my face or anything.
And
people judge it. Like, I'm so neurotic and like, I've got such anxiety. I'm just like, oh my God, people are watching my play and what do they think? And oh my gosh, they hate me. And I can't imagine having to be an actor, and I just have, like, my hats are off to watching how hard those three women in my play work, and how open they are and how vulnerable they're willing to be, and how much of themselves they give, like completely selflessly, because you don't know what you're going to get back as an actor, do you? I think it's like, I do not have the stomach or the skin for that.
That's the, you gotta have the toughest skin. Well, almost in anything where you're putting yourself into your work, and you're not behind a sort of desk or something that computers, there's like a barrier between. It's very, very vulnerable.
You need to know who you are and be confident in yourself to be able to do it. But
especially with like social media and the internet and everything, it's so easy to get trolled.
That's what I was going to lead on to. You know, have you seen any other reviews of the show yet?
All my friends listening will be like literally like gut churning at the word reviews, because I've been the worst friend in the world for the last few days, because I've been like, no one's allowed to read reviews, do not talk to me. I'm deleting my social media. I insist you delete your social medias as well. And let's create this kind of like vortex where we just exist together and we just tell each other we're wonderful. But then, because I wasn't reading social media, I was like not sleeping, because I was like, oh my gosh, the whole world knows that I'm shit.
And they were
talking about how shit I am, and then they see me walk down the street and be like, oh, she doesn't know that she's shit, but we know that she's shit. And I just was convinced that
that's a lot of overthinking.
That's a lot of overthinking.
And my friends had to deal with all of those messages in the middle of the night. And then I just like, oh, like, just get yourself together. And I just read all the reviews the other day, and I was like, lovely. And also, it reminded me...
That's also bad.
Lovely!
But also, it was like, oh, actually, they are, you know, wonderful people, but just people's opinions and,
yeah,
you know...
that's all they are at the end of the day. Just like, exactly. You got to kind of just, like, roll off your back, yeah. And also, something really inspired me that if you actually have people like hating on you, that's actually a good sign. It means you're doing something right. Mm. If you are actually offending someone or pissing someone off, or you're evoking something in them, do you know what I mean? Rather than nothing, at least it's like you're starting a conversation.
I've always looked at it like, you know, a bad review to me is just as good as a good review, because if there was no review, then
Maybe
they thought nothing of the show, you know, if there was no review. Bad review means they saw it, they had their own opinion about it,
Something happened that they formed.
They made them think about what you've done.
Do you see a lot of other theatre? Are you an avid theatre goer?
I don't know if I'm avid. I go to things that I don't go for the sake of it. I feel like sometimes people go to watch other people just to critique it.
Yeah. And I'm going to watch some theatre and I'm going to have an opinion.
I don't really get that. I just feel like I want to be entertained.
Yeah.
So I go to things that I want to see. Like I went to see House and Amongst the Reeds yesterday at The Yard, and I thought that was brilliant. And then I went to Edinburgh Fringe earlier this month.
Never been to the Fringe.
Really?
Yeah. I've been once.
So, I was my first time, and I was like, this was what I was born to do.
Where have I been? All my summers. Forever.
So good.
And because you're extremely young. Can I ask roughly how old you are?
A lady never reveals her age.
Okay. But you're very young.
As a woman, like, I've got probably around 15 years before I become irrelevant to the world under the patriarchal system. So I'm going to start lying about my age soon.
Well, you look like really young, like 20 something. So I was just like super impressed.
Aloe vera, babe.
Around my age.
Aloe vera. That of Nivea.
I reckon you're around my age.
Maybe.
I'm 20.
Maybe.
So. She's not going to reel it. That's fine. That was a bit cheeky of me.
I
was just so amazed at how young she is and like how...
It's because I didn't do my eyebrows.
It's a total compliment.
I haven't got any eyebrows on. That's why I look particularly young.
That makes you younger.
Does it?
Eyebrows make you look older and firmer.
And like... sterner.
I don't think anyone's ever used the word firmer in regards to their eyebrows.
That wasn't the right word, really, was it?
Oh, I'm looking really firm today.
I am firm. Wrong word. I'm tired. It's been a long week. But I love going to the theatre. I love going to musical theatre. That is one of my little life.
I need to go to so many.
If I could properly sing, that would be my life. I'd be on stage, musical theatre-ing.
Cats.
Yep. But do you need to be able to properly sing?
Well, you need to be able to sing, I guess. I think I sing in the shower, but that's as far as it goes.
It's quite hard to auto-tune to a live crowd.
There is a piece of theatre that I am absolutely dying. I'd probably sell like an arm to go and see, which is the new Harry Potter play.
Oh, don't get me started. I would crawl for that.
So when Girls won the Alfred Fagan, we had a reading, and in the reading, Sherelle Skeet, who plays Hermione's daughter, was she was Tisana from Girls in our reading, so... I was like, yes, sure. Oh, so I remember being like, oh, great, you know, if Girls ever gets on. And then she was like, oh, babe, Harry Potter called. I was like, oh, thanks, Shira. Bye.
Harry Potter called, done.
When Harry Potter calls, you got to go.
But she's, like, so amazing, and I'm so dying to see it. Just the cast is incredible, isn't it?
Is it not completely sold out?
It is getting super, super booked. But, you know, every Friday, I think they do some sort of tombola, and they release 40 tickets.
Oh, right. They're gone in seconds, surely.
No, it's like a kind of... they do it for the Book of Mormon as well, I think on Mondays, where you go outside the theatre and then you put your name into a bucket and they pull out 40 tickets and stuff. So there are ways to see it. You can also go to returns on the day, because some people, you know, they get flu and they can't make the ticket, and there will be a spare seat occasionally. So... or you could just pre-book for, you know, 2617 and just wait a long time.
I looked at booking tickets online. I was due to see it in June 2017. So. 2018, sorry.
2097.
That's such a forward investment. But you got to. I feel like I need to do that for Hamilton, because I know that's going to be an issue. And if I don't see that, then I'll just be devastated.
Get my tickets in for your show now before it gets booked up for the next 3 years.
Yeah, so it's going to be, just to recap for our listeners, it's going to be on at Birmingham Rep, 20th to the 24th of September, and then Soho Theatre for a whole month, isn't it? 27th of September to the 29th of October. Perfect.
Wicked.
I'll saunter down and see that. Thank you so much, Teresa, for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That's lovely. And all the best of luck for your future writing. So empowering to see young...
Girl power!
Girl power! Yeah. we're going to pop on to. I'm going to pick a happy song. This is one of my happiest songs that I've ever listened to. It really picks me up. And it's from the film Ice Age. So I wanted to share it with everyone today. It is Send Me On My Way by Rusted Root.
Well, pick me up with golden hand. Oh, let's sail. Oh, let's tell you to run.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm over to see, I'm over to young.
Back in the studio.
Yo.
It's Back Row and Chill. Johanna James, Noel Clark. Noel is actually in Toronto, just to recap. So we're joined in the studio today by Jack Binstead.
Hello, everybody.
And we have our second guest. We've got D-Duck in the studio. Woo-hoo! Welcome.
Yo.
Thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you have a connection to me and Noel anyway, because your song is in the Brotherhood soundtrack in the fucking movie.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
I know, very.
Is that the first time you ever had one of your songs in a movie? Or?
Yeah. Like, of that.
Like, it's everywhere. Brotherhood's like number two in the box office right now.
It's massive.
Yeah, it's killing it.
And I love the song, actually. It's one of the favorite. And Noel, when we went through when we were picking, like, which songs to play from the Brotherhood soundtrack, yeah. that was one of his favourite ones. He was like, D-Doc, we've got to get D-Doc in.
Sick.
Behalf of Noel, he's a fan, I'm a fan.
Oh, wicked.
So how did that even come about? How did you get your track?
Because before the Unstoppable Team, they did a film before called Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some music for that. And then, this Brotherhood came up. And then, they just asked me for some music. And I sent a couple of tracks. And that's the one. Yeah.
I auditioned for the film Legacy.
Did you actually?
It's the only audition that I've ever done fully butt naked.
Oh, okay,
like,
right.
Fully in the nude.
How was that? How did you find that?
that was an experience.
Yeah,
weirdly,
imagine.
I went in, because it wasn't the first audition. I did like 3 or 4 rounds of auditioning and I got through to like, the
All
final.
All naked?
No. The final one. The first of all, you audition in your clothes, then you audition in a bikini, and then finally they turn off the camera and you do it. They say, they're just checking that you can do it, so that if you can't do it on, they don't want you to get to set and then you check it out. So we just need you to see do the
right,
scene.
Right, okay.
So I did it, and I was a bit nervous, obviously. A lot nervous, and there's like a whole panel of like producers and casting directors and whatever, and I did the scene, and then weirdly it was so empowering because I thought I was going to be the one that would be all embarrassed and blushing. They were all embarrassed and blushing, and I was just standing there like,
you're just strutting stuff like all over the place.
This is me. And they're all like looking up like, oh my, that was great, do it again.
Can you do it again from a different angle whilst I just all lean back and
so it was quite empowering. So yeah, that was cool. Anyway, we've gone a little bit off track, but the point is that I know that movie Legacy. It's a good movie, and that's so cool. So you're making. And what do you? So music is your main thing. Your main passion.
Yeah, music's my main passion. So I produce and also rap and yeah. So I produce that also.
Multi-talented man.
Oh, thank you, brother.
And did you see the film? Did you get to go to? Were you invited to any sort of screening of it, or did you see it in the cinema?
Yeah, I went to the screening. Yeah, well, so I like the film a lot. I think it's dope.
It's great.
Yeah,
I still haven't seen it.
You need to see it.
I need to see it.
Mate, I'm in it, and you're
my
friend.
I've got so many reasons to see it. You're in it. Noel's in it.
Yeah.
Right? D-Dark's rapping in it.
Exactly. That's a multitude. That's at least
that's like
four
reasons. Three or four reasons why I need to see it.
I think I just held up 5 fingers. I'm like, that's like 4 reasons why you need to go see it, man. My maths is great.
Making me look less disabled. Brilliant.
I am maths disabled, and I'm proud of it. It's fine. But, mate, and when did you start music? What was that like?
I started music when I was like 5. I did piano
5
lessons. Yeah, piano lessons.
Didn't we all though?
Yeah, definitely.
No, I did recorder.
I did a bit of that. As well.
I could do 3 blind mice on the recorder. Probably still
I was that guy who, like, when he was at school, he used to just put me in the back with a triangle. I think, you know what, let's just leave him there for 20 minutes. Put his brakes on, leave him there. Right, I'll just give him a triangle. That was me.
Let him
all
go.
Those percussion instruments.
We're the main guys.
I challenge you on your next track to put a triangle in there somewhere. Can you do that?
Just for me, you've got to put a triangle. Yeah,
at the end of it,
just ding. That's it.
Well, it's an epic sound, though, like the triangle. It is an epic instrument.
And also, actually, don't knock it. It's quite hard, because you remember when you got like the triangle, you got a little stick, and if you accidentally hit all the sides...
Don't try and make that sound hard, Johanna.
It was hard for me. Do you know what else I used to do in school, and I genuinely took lessons for like 3 months? I used to play the steel pans.
Shut
the
up.
The steel drums. Yeah, I could do White Christmas. I could do all these
songs.
Yeah.
On the pans.
I was like, I went to a proper like white girl school as well.
Oh my
playing
God.
The steel drums.
I went to quite a rough school, so we used to pick up the little eggs that you shake, and they're like little maracas sort of eggs. We used to see if we could throw them across the school hall. That was basically our music lesson to a T.
I feel sorry for music teachers, man. It's a lot. It's like a jungle out there.
Yeah, my music teacher was dope though. Like I could go to a music class when I had like science or something.
Wow.
We could go there. Like,
should we quiz you on the physics, see how good you are at science?
No, I just went there to like make music. Like, we could kind of go there when we had like other lessons. Like, it was dope. Like, she wasn't like the other teachers. Like, she was more like free and
there's always
and
like one
musical
there?
And
there's always
and, yeah.
like one teacher that's like
yeah
that.
Yeah yeah it's like yeah it was dope. So
well, we just got an email in for the studio with a question saying, what are your favourite films? So I think if we go around,
let's do it.
What's on your
Probably Brotherhood.
Oh, that is the name.
Bit of self promo there. Love it.
Yeah, yes, that's coming to my top.
No. Cool, okay.
That's up there.
Any old school favourites, like VHS favourites?
That Coming to America.
That's a great film.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, he's a great film.
That's hilarious.
And I like White Chicks as well.
Obviously, you can't beat White Chicks.
Yeah. I met and interviewed Marlon Wayans this year, and he was amazing.
Oh, did you?
He was amazing.
It's so weird because I interviewed Terry Crews.
Oh.
So there's two White Chicks people there.
But okay, Jack, what would be your favourite film? And if you say Bad Education, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Okay, I got nothing then. I got nothing. I've always been a fan of Toy Story.
The original Toy Story, number one. Yeah,
you know.
Buzz Lightyear.
What was the one where they got like lost in Pizza Planet?
That's the original one.
Yeah, that one.
Didn't you want to go to Pizza Planet? Like, as a kid, I was like, oh, I also wanted to go.
When I was a kid, I was always quite a small child.
Yeah.
So I always used to try and crawl into the claw.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to go inside and sit in it with the toys.
Me, I did love toys. How iconic! And it was amazing that we were the first generation that got to watch it originally. Yeah, like, I went to the cinema when I was.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
The original, I think it was like 1996 or something crazy.
Yeah.
That makes me feel old. But no, I loved it. What, were you a Sid or an Andy?
Andy.
With your toys?
Andy.
Nah, Andy, yeah.
Andy, 100%.
Andy had all the toys, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Sid used to like.
Sid used to cut all his toys up and put them back together.
Yeah, he was mad. he was like
absolute nutter child, breaking his toys.
Yeah.
Proper scary. I was an Andy, but I did. When it came to Barbie dolls, I did used to.
No, you
didn't. I used to cut the hair off.
Jesus.
And yeah. I think now that's probably one of the like, massive signs of like psychological child.
Now I know why you're so messed up, Jen.
It's like early signs of serial killer in me, but no. Okay, my favourite movie of all time probably would be Steven Spielberg's Hook.
That's a great film.
I love that film.
That's a horror movie, isn't it?
No.
Okay. Oh, wait. No, that was a joke. Wait, Captain Hook.
That was a joke.
Captain Hook.
Yeah, Hook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Peter Pan.
With Robin Williams.
Is Peter Pan in there?
Yeah, it's Peter Pan. Robin Williams played Peter Pan. He's grown up, he's old.
I remember it.
His children.
He's not laughing. You know what? I think it was Arnold he did last summer. You know the guy with the hook? I thought that was sad. My bad.
Oh, he's brightened up my day. I'm actually crying.
A tear has come to Mr. Minster's eye. No, and I found I was on Facebook the other day, and this thing popped up which said Backyard Cinema, which I was going to mention anyway. And it's this cinema that you can go to that they've built, and it's got bean bags and cocktails, and it's a proper
that'd be so cool.
Like those rooftop cinemas and backyard cinemas. It's called Backyard Cinema, and they're showing some of my favourite movies. And this Sunday they're showing Hook, so I'm going to go down. I'm dragging my boyfriend down. Like, we're going to go and sit in a bean bag, and we're going to enjoy my favourite movie. All right, honey. Okay. So we've got another email in here for you. It says, "Hi, D-Doc. He is sick. Would he like to work with? Oh, who would you like to work with? And are you going to do any acting? Cheers from Jason."
There's a lot of artists I like to work with. In the UK, musically. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
What, number one, Jack with his triangle, obviously.
Yeah. We need that triangle and a beat. We need to get in there. We'll arrange that.
Yeah. I'll see you in the studio next week. Yeah.
We'll get it in. Trust me.
But he's on your top collab list.
I don't know. There's so many. Like, if I sit like Calvin Harris, that'd be sick.
Oh, he's a legend.
That'd be mad.
That'd be crazy.
And that's for the acting. Yeah, definitely.
Stormzy, he transferred, like, you know.
In
Brotherhood.
And he done well as well.
He transferred, like, he crossed that. Because I hate that thing where it's like you can only be one or the other.
That's a load of bullshit.
You can only be a singing artist or a music artist and not an actor. Or you can only be a producer or an actor.
Eminem pretty much smashed that one to pieces, though, with his rapping in an 8 Mile and all that lot.
He crossed all kind of bridges, Eminem did. You know. Bottled peroxide ginger blonde.
He built bridges and then crushed them.
He made that cool. He made like blonde accidents cool. You know what I mean? Power to Eminem. But yeah, no, cool. I mean, good to get you into something.
That'll be sick.
You know, now you're.
So, D-Dark, I need to ask you because it's killing me. I need to ask, why the name D-Dark?
I don't know. Like when I was in secondary school, I went through a few names. I had other names. I don't want to say them now.
Like
but
tag names.
Yeah, yeah, I had other ones. And then I just kept changing it. And then when I, like, D-Dark is actually from a, like, a computer game, Street Fighter. But it's Dr. Dark. But I was like...
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I was like, Doctor, as in Doctor of Sound. Like sounds and like music, so I was like, "Yeah, I'll be the love doctor that. Of sound."
I'm a doctor of sound. And,
yeah. Doctor of sound.
And like,
that's quite
like,
sexy.
Yeah.
Doctor yeah, of sound.
And then yeah, Dark was like, "Yeah, yeah, so yeah."
Dark because yeah, yeah, you know, like, yeah, you know, yeah.
Dark, mysterious.
Yeah, yeah, it's like yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You don't know
I
who
want
I
a
am.
Cool name. Can I have a? Because you've got a cool name. You got Remdog.
Remdog.
And you got right. What's my cool name? Can I get one?
I was going to go, blonde accident.
don't think that sounds like a really bad garage band.
I don't know. No, can't D-Dark. You're good at making that.
I know, it took me a while. Like, I actually kept changing my name and then I ended up with D-Dark. Yeah, so.
I'll work on it. If anyone's got any suggestions for what my kind of like... code name could be firm. Email it in fun
firm
oh firm
like your eyebrows like your eyebrows
I think it should be maybe peach or something because look how easily I bruise. I've got some whacking great bruises on me at the moment and I'm just maybe I'm a peach not peach
peached princess peach
little princess. I don't want to be a princess. Nah, I'm a king. King peach.
Top of the fruit chain.
That's amazing. Yeah, if you've got any more questions, email in at studio@foobarradio.com or tweet us at foobarradio.com. And I know at foobarradio, sorry. Whoa, I'm just overwhelmed by the Dr. Dark. It's thrown me. It's thrown me.
You're starting to sweat there, Johanna.
I'm starting to blush a little bit. So this is cool. So if you've got any more, like, are you going to be performing anywhere, live touring?
Yeah, I got a live show, headline show on the 23rd. That's like next Friday.
That's real soon.
Yeah, birthdays, and you're all invited. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I am so there.
Yeah, wicked. 23rd.
I'll bring the triangle. I want to be on stage, digging away.
That's cool. Do you get nervous performing live? Or
I've done it like for some time
you
now.
You seem so chilled as a person. You're literally,
yeah,
you
I think on stage. Like, I think on stage, yeah. I transform that.
Yeah.
You become alive and you just sort of.
Is that your Sasha Fierce? Is that your Beyonce that you get on stage and it's like boom?
What's your actual name? Your real name?
Stefan.
Stefan. Yeah, so like you're writing, you know, you're Stefan. And you get that? Grab that mic. D-Dark's in the building.
The doctor has arrived.
The doctor of sound.
Yeah. That's it. You got to just flip it. That. That's what you get, yeah.
Who's on my appointment list today?
You've got an appointment with the doctor.
Meet up with the Ministry of Sound.
No, that's amazing. Yeah, live show. And what would be like the proper goals? Where would like, where are you running? What are you heading to?
Just to do like more bigger things, like get my music out there, even on a more worldwide scale, more collaborations with
D-Dark the movie.
Artists. D-Dark the movie, you know.
Yeah.
What
I mean?
Nine Mile.
Yeah. Well, sound like that.
You are doing very well. I mean, I followed your Twitter before we got on live, and you have 130,000 followers.
Oh my god!
I did the Harlem Shake as well, freestyle, and that got a couple million views.
Whoa!
Do you remember when that was a thing. Proper viral?
There were so many versions of that. I probably watched yours.
I was in a car like, and I was out the window like spitting bars. Yeah, you should watch it again. It's a little vibe.
Can I find that?
Yeah. So you're on Twitter. Do you have Instagram, Facebook, and all that?
Yeah, it's all D-Dark online.
Yeah.
Easy, keep it the same.
Easy peasy.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy nowadays as a sort of celebrity. You need to keep up, like there's so many things.
The other day,
I was in here with Noah and we did the whole Snapchat round. Yeah. And then we had to do the Instagram story round. And I was like, wait, we just did this. We literally have just done the same thing twice. It's like Groundhog Day of social media.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, so next week is the 23rd of September, headlining birthdays in Dalston. Yeah, we're going to be there. You're obviously going to be
there. We're
coming.
Yeah, yeah.
This is cool. Well, I want to play your song that is in Brotherhood.
Yes.
Because it's bloody brilliant.
Be smart.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And
I'm a massive fan of you.
Thank you, brother.
Well, I'm a fan of the Doctor. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having
me. Background chill, Food Bar Radio.
Be smart, brother. Don't get too smart, brother. Cause I bust your clock, brother. get sealed up. Lyrically, you can really get killed up. Talk, don't care how you feel though. Give my hand in the money, I got filled up. Yeah, I got skilled up. Till I come right, Netflix, chilled up. Already know we never gonna get real close. When the whole damn thing, I'm a real boss. I take risk though. Risk them boy, better know, no Frisco. Getting on my wrong side, you're pissed off. Pissed off, out of the whip. Pissed off. Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart.
Don't get too smart, brother.
Too smart.
Cause I bust your clock, brother.
Your clock, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart.
Don't get too smart, brother.
Too smart.
Cause I bust your clock, brother.
Your clock.
Clock in, I be hard like still though.
Still
ain't settling till I make a meal though.
Mill.
If I say I'm gonna get it, then I will though.
Real.
Make a killer see me chilling in Brazil though. Move forward, they stand still though.
Still
going uphill, Jack and Jill though.
Jill though.
Jill though? On a real though. Lick a hate tar in the face with an elbow.
Elbow.
Flow hotter than hell though.
Hell.
Shooting, gotta run them up. Swole though.
Swole.
Everything blessed, everything swole though.
Swole.
Don't make me vex or wanna yell though.
Yeah.
I'm on a road though. If I get any cold, I'm at slow though. Any funny business, no go.
No
head popping, pizza, go go. Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart.
Don't get too smart, brother.
Too smart.
Cause I bust your clock, brother.
Your clock, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart.
Don't get too smart, brother.
Too smart.
Cause I bust your clock, brother.
Your clock.
Man, I got bars though.
Bars though.
Think you're a done, you're an arsehole.
Arsehole.
Most them spitters won't last though.
Last though.
I be in a hole, not a class though.
What?
I swim with the sharks, bro.
Sharks,
and I'm squashed up in the arc though.
Shit.
Might be hench, but you ain't smart though.
Smart.
One, two bars, but you ain't dart though.
Dart though.
Dash man like dart though.
Dart.
Act up, now you wouldn't wanna start though. They wanna scam my plan like a barcode.
Bark.
Grinning any rhythm with any charcoal.
Hey.
Make quick though.
Quick.
Best kind of blue, but I ain't a crypto.
Quick.
I keep going like a reload clip though.
Clip though.
Broke them brother ain't shit though. Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart.
Don't
brother.
Get too smart, brother.
Too smart.
Cause I
brother.
Bust your clock, brother.
Your clock, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart, brother.
Be smart.
Don't
brother.
Get too smart, brother.
Too smart.
Cause I brother. Bust your clock, brother.
Your clock.
Hey guys, I'm here today with a very special guest. It's Michael Landes in the building, everybody. I actually don't have an applause thing, so I'll just do it myself.
That's good. Thank you very much.
That was a bit
much.
Lame, actually.
It's Johanna.
Johanna. So, busy time for you. You are American, but you're currently in London, England.
I am.
How are you finding?
I was going to do a bad English accent. No, I'm not.
Oh, can you do an English accent?
I can do the woman at the airport at the magazine that goes, cashier number 5, please. But that's like... That's Johanna.
That was very good. I was going to... So, are you acquainted with England? Like, do you know...
Yeah, I've come here quite a bit.
Yeah.
My wife's dad is Scottish. I did a couple of series here. Scottish. I did a series here. I did a play. Yeah. Occasionally, you guys invite me over.
So, yeah,
and I
so,
love it.
Yeah.
But this show was made for Sky, but we literally filmed Hooten and the Lady all over the world.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, because
awesome.
That is the thing that you're promoting at the moment, which is your brand new Sky series, which starts today...
Tonight at 9.
On Sky One.
Sky One.
The main channel.
The main Sky.
And so, yeah, I've just been checking out the trailers and stuff. It looks, for me, it reminded me a little bit of like the sort of Indiana little homage to the sort of 80s.
It is a throwback. It's just a big, fun escape.
Action adventure.
It's got humor. And we literally did film all over the world. We were in Russia. We were in Cambodia. We went to Rome, Africa, Namibia.
Did you collect little trinkets?
Air miles?
I collected air miles.
Snow globes? Did I collect little snow globes? I collected a lot of air miles.
Which is your favorite country to visit?
We ended in Cambodia, which I didn't anticipate myself going there. So to watch the sunrise at Angkor Wat is kind of awesome. But I'm half Italian, or my grandfather was, so I loved Italy. We started in Rome.
Getting back to your European roots?
It was fun. I mean, like, we were in Russia in the dead of winter, and I got to bring my kids on there.
Yeah.
To Moscow. We're one of the only shows that's ever filmed in the metro system in Moscow, which is cool. And we shot in Red Square. It's awesome.
Special times. So you are, it's called Hooten and the Lady, and you play...
I play Hooten.
Hooten. And the lady is played by Ophelia Lovibond.
Ophelia
Lovibond.
Which,
don't you just love saying that name? Ophelia Lovibond.
Ophelia Love... Yes.
You have to roll your tongue at least 3 times. It's a very sexual name. I love
it. Is it?
And also...
It's not like Johanna. No, I like Johanna. I like Johanna.
Yay! Thanks.
That's a role. I play Hooten. He's an American kind of adventurer guy that is very good at tracking down artifacts or treasures or anything for private investors. He does it his own way. He doesn't follow any rules. which also leads him into a bunch of sticky situations.
And is it like comedy? Do you or is it?
There is fun. It's tongue in cheek.
Tongue in cheek.
Banter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Intellectual foreplay.
Bit of bants.
Little bants back and forth. But it's fun. I mean, they're two. They're kind of opposites. She's very straight, but they both want the same thing.
Yeah.
They just go about it differently, and so that creates a friction.
And did you audition with Ophelia, or was it?
I came to London and met five. They had me read with five young actresses, okay. And Ophelia came in last.
Yeah.
And I was making a movie in Thailand, and I flew from Thailand, and she came in. She had just got off a plane from New York, and she was playing like, "Oh, I'm just flustered," and I just flew from New York, and I was like, "Bangkok,
amazing.
I got you beat." So we instantly kind of hit it off and had like a little bit of a rat-tat-tat.
A little rat-tat-tat. The chemistry was there. Apparently, she absolutely nails auditions because there's a weird little link I just realized today. Because Noel Clark, who is my co-host here, he is a producer and film director and an actor himself.
Okay.
He's currently promoting his film. It got into the Toronto Film Festival.
Great.
Ophelia was one of her first ever films was one of his. He auditioned her and he told me about her ages ago. He was like, "Oh, I met this actress. She walked into the room. I had a role in mind for someone else and she walked in and boom, part was hers." And so
she's great.
So a weird little, I wish Noel was here because, he could definitely tell you.
She's also a comedian. I mean, her timing is amazing. She was on that show W1A. Jessica Hines, who's a big comedian, she's in the show. And a guy called Jonathan Bailey, who was on Broadchurch and W1A. So it's Hooten and Lady in the cast of W1A.
Now, you were also, people might remember you, because you were back in the day, you were on Superman, weren't you? The New Adventures of Superman.
I was. I was on a superhero show when it wasn't, when it wasn't cool to be on a fucking superhero show.
But for me, that is the only like Superman series that I register as real. Like, that was my childhood. I love that show so much.
That's so funny.
I wanted to be Terry Hatcher.
You did?
Yeah. It's dangerous when you're a kid and watching that show because you're like, "I'll just jump out a window. I can fly.
I'll do it.
I want to be a reporter." That didn't happen either. But you do a very good English accent. That was very good. I want to do a little challenge with you.
Are you going to do an American accent?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, you can. Let me hear. What did you say? Do you want me to? Do you want to go for a yogurt?
Okay. Well, give me something to say and I'll try and do it in American.
I'll tell you a word that everyone always says, like, it's tomato, tomato. You know what the word that we don't do together?
What?
The same? Yogurt.
Yogurt.
You say yogurt.
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 Yeah, let's have a nice cup
of yogurt.
Of yogurt. But
yogurt.
Why do you say yogurt? It's like yogurt?
I didn't hit it. I just say yogurt. But you go to Valley Girl. Is that what you can you do a Valley?
Like LA? Like California? Like totally like that? Yeah. I spent a little time in LA last year, so kind of thought that one
That's out. Great. That's very good.
But English, let's go back to English, because I'm a Londoner. I'm from South London.
From South London.
I am from Broccoli.
How do you know
Broccoli?
Shut the front door. I know Broccoli because I did a show here when we filmed in Broccoli. I've laughed.
I'm from Broccoli.
Isn't there like an old dance hall there or some old...
Yeah, the Rivoli Ballroom.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're like old schoolmates. I grew up in Broccoli in South London.
So you were trying to test my London knowledge.
I want to test your London slang. So if I'm going to throw you some slang words, I'm going to see if you can translate what you think that they might mean. So,
Minge. Sorry.
Do you know what that is?
I do. You know what? I love that The In-Betweeners? That kid with like the clunge mags and... sorry, I'm being naughty.
No. Minge is one of like my favourite words.
Give me a word.
Okay, what about peak?
Peak.
Yeah, what do you think peak means?
Fuck. Like we've peaked, it's... I don't know.
It's an uncomfortable situation.
Peak.
So this is peak. This is peak.
Oh.
You can bring these back to America and you can teach everyone.
Maybe not.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Yard.
Yard?
Yard.
Well, a yard in America is like money.
Is it?
Like, what do we call a yard? It's like $1,000 or something, right? Or 100,000?
Wow.
A yard? A couple of yards?
Well, yard here is your home. Your yard.
Your yard.
This is my
Your
yard.
Crib.
Yeah.
Your yard. You're hitting me with some young good.
Yeah, this is the current.
I threw Minge.
Okay, what about if something's dead?
It's fucking dead. No, if something's dead, it's dead. It's not happening. It's not going on. Nothing's happening
right
now.
Yeah, it's poor quality. So
poor quality. This is dead.
Sorry, mate. Your jacket's dead. Like,
wow, give me some more. Shit.
What's whip?
Your ride. Your whip. Your car, right?
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's the same one. Okay, cool. What about fam? What is a fam?
Your family? No. Your friends?
It's a close friend.
Your close friends, my fam.
And a final one, what does peng mean?
P-
P-E-N-G. Peng.
Peng. We have a thing, what we call Peng, is if you have a moment that you go, fuck, I shouldn't have said, there's like a pang in your stomach, or like a pang.
No, it's if it's nice looking. So if you see like a really hot girl, be like, oh, she's pang.
She's pang. But what? Explain that. You just made that up. Why?
I did not make that up.
Why is the good looking girl pang? What makes her pang?
I don't know. What, these kids on the street, they just like twist words.
Look at her,
stuff.
She's pang.
Yeah.
Or she's paying for dinner.
Paying.
That's how we would say
she's
pang.
So pang, I'm pang.
She's pang. Fuck.
Yeah, no, okay. Well done.
Those
did
are
well.
Very. I didn't do well at all. I did extremely.
You can. Well, I was so impressed that you knew Minge. That's amazing.
That's a bit naughty.
That's amazing. There's what an actress in Hollywood who got Minge tattooed on her foot.
Did she? Maybe didn't know well.
She didn't quite. It was Amanda Seyfried. And she said she was on set with Colin Firth and he kept saying Minge. She kept swearing, Minge. And so she loved it so much she got it on her foot. And then now she does red carpets and there's Minge on her foot.
There's Minge on her foot.
Well, we have a lot of swear words over here that maybe don't translate. Like, we say bugger a lot. Like, oh,
bugger. Like, oh, bugger. Oh, bugger. That's like bugger. A Hugh Grant movie as well.
Oh, yeah, he says it a lot. Bugger. Yeah.
You say bollocks.
Oh, bollocks. Yeah.
You say the C word a lot. The C word in England seems very normal and it's less offensive, but in America people get offended by
it. No, it's still pretty offensive here.
Is it?
Yeah. Not really used much on TV or anything. But go down a pub, it's everywhere.
If they don't even say it, they go, you fucking cunt.
Just whisper it.
What about mingin? You go, that's an mingin. Irish thing.
Yeah? Oh, that's right? So mingin. Yeah.
Well, all those, so I'm from New York City, so you'll have, okay. When you come from different, if you're not in like a posh, you know, thing, I think you come up with your own little slang
words.
Or isms.
I invent words sometimes. I said ferocious once, and I meant like horrendously ferocious, and it just came out as ferocious.
But ferocious is a good word.
So I kept that. I was like, oh, it's just ferocious, that situation. It's like Shakespeare. You made up words all the time.
I think they made up Shakespeare.
Are you a fan of Shakespeare?
Bill? William?
Old Bill? Old Billy Bill?
Shakespeare?
There's a rumor that he was actually a woman, but writing under the male name.
Wilhelmina?
I mean, that would make sense, I think.
All those feelings that he was writing
about? It's pretty much just PMS in a play, isn't it? Just like, I hate you!
Do you go to Shakespeare?
I do. At the Globe, they've got this really good deal where you can go. It's like a fiver all the time.
For a fiver? That's the Columbus Road flower market. You can spend a fiver. I have a little fam in England. I have some good friends here, yeah. Do you know who Dexter Fletcher is?
Yes.
He's the voice of McDonald's. The Big Mac McFlurry. You've not heard, every time you listen to McDonald's, it's Dexter.
How do you know Dexter?
We did a play.
Does he get free McDonald's?
In 2004. He doesn't get free McDonald's.
Oh, mate. You'd think, as the voice of McDonald's, you'd be able to walk in and be like, I'd like
But I
a
think
burger.
They pay him and he can buy some McDonald's if he wants.
That's not as fun,
Where
is
do you
it?
Get a good burger? You guys are all big about your lobster burger thing. What's going on? Where do you get a good cheeseburger if you're... Oh, Five Guys,
isn't
it?
Five Guys. I get free burgers at Five Guys.
You do?
But I did an interview once and I accidentally made a huge tit of myself and made a big sexual innuendo when I was interviewing someone and it went viral and Five Guys offered me free burgers.
Five dudes offered you free burgers?
Five dudes.
Or Five Guys the place?
Five Guys the place. Yeah, that was the mix-up. I was talking about Five Guys.
You were thinking Five Guys.
The burger place and they thought I was talking about five men of mine.
Uh-oh.
But never go lower than seven, so it's fine.
Johanna.
Okay, so back to...
What else can we talk about?
Hooter and the Lady a little bit more. Because it's starting tonight. Have you actually seen... How many...
I saw, like, the first two. We go to Rome in the second one. The first one's in the jungle. We go to Egypt, Russia, Cambodia. It's just good, fun escapism. We do a lot of stunts. We were up on the stunt team. Do a lot of the Tom Cruise movies.
Okay.
And Tom Cruise picks the safest people in the world. I felt in good, safe hands. So we did more stunts than I ever have. Wow. And they pushed us further than we ever did. We did fights on helicopters.
Did you hurt yourself?
Emotionally.
Emotionally damaged.
No, you get hurt a little bit, but they don't let you do everything because there's insurance and stuff.
You're
you
very
have to
precious.
Come back the next day. I'm not precious.
You got to keep your face intact.
I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to start watching it, and that's actually quite big. Normally, I just stick to Netflix. Got any upcoming projects, like next in line, where you're
I
going
did a
after?
Film with Matthew McConaughey called Gold. It's a.
Oh, my God.
That's coming out on Christmas Day in America. I don't know when it's coming out here.
Okay.
It's a big drama. It's about the largest gold scandal in the history of the world, I think.
The history of the universe.
It's kind of gold, money, greed. But it was written and directed by the guy that did Syriana and won the Oscar, and he wrote Traffic and won the Oscar. Stephen Gagan.
It's
so it's
like
a good proper...
Proper serious chunky.
And McConaughey's great. He gained all this weight, and lost his hair. He's like, great. He's going to, I think he'll get nominated for another Oscar.
You said that with like a nice amount of.
No, he's amazing. I think he's great. I think he's fun. And
he kind of came out of nowhere. He was like killing the, you know, the rom-coms and all those kind of films. And then just out of nowhere, boom.
He did all those romantic comedies and then he moved to Austin and he took a little break.
And then
the phone stopped calling for a while. And then all of a sudden you become a new idea.
And
he came out and he did a couple of movies before Dallas Buyers Club that were great.
Yeah.
Mud and Magic Mike too. That's what happened. That was the first movie. I think Soderbergh called him and he came and did that. He works hard.
Do you play like a goodie or a baddie or a?
I just play. I play a banker, a New York banker that
baddie.
Goes. No. That goes to Indonesia to verify that what they found is really gold.
Okay.
And it turns out to not be really gold. And I look like probably an asshole. But it's all set in the 80s. I had to pretend more to,
I'd love to
travel with a Walkman.
I love that part of acting because I'm an actress as well. And like when you get put on set and you have to pretend that you're an expert at something, I'm like, yeah, I can totally fly this helicopter. Thank you so much. I know you had a really super busy
day. I won't be getting
day.
In a helicopter with Johanna. Thank
it's a
you
fun
very
ride.
Much.
Thank you. It's amazing to meet you. And I can't believe that you're from my hometown. Well, you went to my... I'm from my hometown.
Dance Hall. River House. Whatever it's called.
Okay, we need to stop here because this is getting dead. Okay.
FUBAR Radio presents...
The Hannah Whitten Show. One of the sexiest things that someone's ever said to me was when I was very much, like, doing the stuff, we're getting down to it. I was clearly very much getting to the point where I was just like, I want to come. You know when you get in there and you're
and
just
that's
like...
allowed.
You're like, I want this. And I think he could tell in terms of my body language that I was just like gearing up.
Good. Yeah.
But then he just stopped and said to me, he was just like, you're going to come when I want you to come. And I was just like, oh my God!
Baller, that's a nice one. Good job.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Whitten Show.
From 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, guys, it's Backrow and Chill with Johanna James and today Jack Binstead.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, we got Lucy Pedersen back in the studio to do some film reviews because now it's for this part of the show, which is honest film reviews and a bit of TV.
Yeah. Do you know what that reminded me of?
What?
Lord Farquaad from Shrek.
Lord Farquaad.
When he just comes out, onto the castle.
I love Shrek. It's on the list. Right, welcome, Lucy. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Friday. So another week has passed. More movies are coming and going.
Yes.
What have you seen this week?
I saw Don't Breathe.
Right.
Absolutely shit myself. And saw Hello, High Water, which... Ooh. Oh my God, is one of the best films I've ever seen. That is a bold statement, but I stand by it.
I think I saw a trailer for that.
With Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Who is devilishly handsome in it.
Yeah.
I would.
Obviously, well, yeah.
We all would. Yeah. I think we all would.
Agreed.
Okay, let's start with that. So what is the film about and why should people go and see it?
It's basically a heist film. It's, you know, bank robbers and, you know, cops and robbers type thing. Mm-hmm. That's only on the surface of it, though. I mean, really, essentially, it's sort of a family drama. It's a road movie. It's a buddy movie.
Right.
It's like this beautiful love letter to rural Texas. It's just absolutely beautiful to watch. basically, these guys are robbing banks. And at first you think, well, you know, quite clearly you're breaking the law. Mm-hmm. The policemen are going to get you. But it turns out there's a very good reason why they're doing it. I won't... reveal
Ooh,
the reason.
A Robin Hood.
Oh, that's
going to
make
it.
Yeah, amazing.
And it's so heartwarming, you know, what they're actually doing, but also it's really sad that they've actually got to take the action they're taking because they're basically just being screwed over.
Yeah.
The lead cast are absolutely amazing. I mean, Chris Pine, like we said, beautiful, those blue eyes, you could just get lost in them. But he is so rugged in it.
He is a leading man.
Mm, definitely.
He's earned his chops, I think.
Definitely. But Ben Foster, they play brothers in it.
Love
he's
Ben
the blonde.
Foster.
I love Ben Foster. I always have.
And you know, what makes me sad is that he's largely ignored. You know,
really?
Well, I mean, yeah, he got a little bit of recognition for 3:10 to Yuma and things like that. But why is he not a massive star? I don't understand.
Why is he not an A-list?
Yeah. I mean, you watch him in Alpha Dog and things like that, and he's a ridiculous psycho.
That's what I liked him from.
Yeah.
Alpha,
and he's amazing in that. Like, you would think that, really, in real life, he's got to be a complete lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read interviews and things, and he seems like quite a stable, normal person.
Yeah.
But, you know, he plays it... part psycho, part lovable rogue in this, and that to me as well is testament to his talent, because if you can be this absolute luno but also tone it down and be a lovable, morally bereft,
lovable rogue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's absolutely amazing to watch. He really was. He was my favourite part about the film, definitely.
Oh, amazing. Mm. What, you convinced me, because I saw a poster for it, and I got to admit, from the poster, I didn't
pop.
I wasn't inclined to go and see it. I did see the trailer, and that made me go,
me too. I mean, I saw it and thought it looks a bit cowboyish. And Jeff Bridges is in it, obviously, who is really old and basically looks like he's got no teeth when he's talking. Like, there was a point
to put it nicely,
like,
you know what I mean?
It's a bit of a gummy Bridges.
It really was gummy. There were points where I was thinking, I don't really know what you're saying, but you know, you're pushing the plot along.
So overall from you, I think your film review would be
yep.
It's a yep from you.
Definitely.
Okay, and so the next film you saw was Don't Breathe, which I think, Jack, you mentioned briefly.
I've seen.
You've both seen that. And what did you feel?
You go first. What did you think?
I thought it was, you know, absolutely amazing. I thought, oh, it's going to be one of these run-of-the-mill horror. I've seen so many horror films.
I was waiting for you to say it was shit, and I'd be like, no.
No, absolutely not. And I've seen reviews where people have said, oh, it's this, it's that. No, it does exactly what it says on the tin.
Exactly.
It scares you. There was plenty of times where I was jumping out of my seat. The people
I just jumped then, because you said jump. I don't know why I jumped.
I don't.
I just went, oh.
I don't know. Right, I tell you, I went in there. I've always, being a disabled actor, ever since I was a child, I've always loved a film that's got the plot is based around someone who's disabled.
Yeah.
And so when I started, when I knew them, you know, it's a couple of kids breaking into people's houses, they find out a blind guy is living in a house, easy target. Mm. That to me was appealing. I thought that's going to be a great film.
Yeah.
You know, there is so many more twists.
Oh my god! So many twists.
Like, you know, in the last sort of 45 minutes, not even that,
it's
half an hour.
Again and again.
There's four twists. Yeah. I'm like, what? Who's what? Like,
I literally was exhausted, just sitting there going, "Is this going to end? Is there something else going to happen?"
It took me 20 minutes to question whether he was actually blind, because I was like thinking, "You didn't know that from your hearing. Come on, like,
I must admit that was a bit really." But, I thought, don't you think he was amazing? He reminded me of...
he was incredible actor.
Mick Taylor in Wolf Creek. You know, that absolute lunatic that's like all Silver Fox, but like a hench psycho.
He was massive. He was very muscly.
It
Silver
was so
It was what, ex-veteran...
Yeah.
Like, soldier, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he lost his eyesight in a bomb.
Was it in Iraq, I think? Or maybe Vietnam, probably.
Vietnam, he lost his eyesight.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the bond as well between the lead female actress and the male actor.
Yeah.
They were very good. That was a good bond they had there.
I mean, I don't really know much. It's Dylan Minnette, I can't really pronounce his name, and Jane Levy. And Jane Levy, she's worked with Fede Alvarez before on the remake of Evil Dead.
Yes.
So, and it took me a while to realise it was actually her, because her hair was blonde and she's all black.
I got that one straight away. I was like, I just when she was a kid in the trailer, I was like, I know that.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. They really had good chemistry, didn't they? And I just think that...
I mean, that was a vital part of this coming together, was them
two. Absolutely.
Otherwise, because the guy on his own, the blind guy, was not going to pull through with the film.
No.
On his own.
No.
So...
It was
exciting. Yeah. I mean, it is a thriller more than a horror.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, the supernatural ghosty
type stuff.
He is like a slasher, but you know, that's thriller type.
It's a little bit of you know, moments you thought, oh Jesus, that must have hurt. But there's got to be some of that.
That you're not being ill.
No,
it's
there was one gross bit. It was
a
close up of a certain bodily fluid, and it actually had a hair in it.
Yes.
I was actually gagging in the cinema. I mean, I am desensitized to that gore, but that I thought was really clever.
Why has that not been done before in a horror film? You're going to have to watch, so I know what we're on about.
Don't want it to be done.
It's getting real. Shit's getting real, and then it gets real scary.
Disgusting.
When there's hair and
underground dungeons and bodily fluids.
So overall, that would be like a.
Totally.
Family friendly.
For the bodily fluid, I'd say.
Yep.
Amazing. Yep. So I'm gonna whiz through in the entertainment news sort of what is coming up and what I think you should go and see coming soon. This is not out right now, but The Magnificent Seven with Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt looks
exciting.
I'm very excited for that sort of I think the Western movies, I'm up for a Western movie.
Yeah.
So go on Google or YouTube or whatever and look up The Magnificent Seven. I recommend that one. The Girl with All the Gifts with Gemma Arterton.
Yeah, I saw that trailer.
Because I love, my favourite movie genre ever is sort of post-apocalyptic or dystopian future. Just love it when the world's messed up in the future.
Favourite moment is when the world's about to fucking end. Yeah. Brilliant.
But it's about this dystopian future where a lot of humanity is wiped out by an infection. And the ones who do... Gemma Arterton is obviously survived because she's cool. And she's this sort of psychologist, the doctor. And there are these, they get these kids who are infected and they kind of experiment on them. And there's this one special girl who's got like a genius IQ. Yeah. And they create a bond. And even though she's sort of got infected with this essentially zombie thing, or zombie type infection.
Yeah.
And it's about... You just watch the trailer.
Yeah,
I'm really excited for it.
It looks good, like a
drama, but I just love the one.
I'll tell you what I just watched on Sky Premiere to do with the zombie sort of side of things was the Maze Runner Scorch Trials.
I haven't watched any of them.
Right. The first film, fantastic. Yeah. You know, really, really good. The second film is all about them escaping what they were involved in the first film, but then the zombies come into it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was so good. I don't like zombie films.
Oh, I do.
Not because I'm scared of them. I get bored.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
Yeah.
But this, okay. I watched the whole thing through.
Really?
I loved it, every second of it.
Oh, I'll have to watch them. I haven't seen any of them.
And the third thing that I'm looking forward to that I saw pop up, because I read the book and I wish they'd make this into a film. It is Inferno, which is... you know the what's the one with Tom Hanks and all the, what was the original one?
Da Vinci Code.
That's the one I'm looking for.
It's another Dan Brown book.
Yes, it's a continuation, the same character.
Right.
So it's the Da Vinci Code, and then it was Angels and Demons, and then I read Inferno, and it was. Like another level.
I haven't seen any of them.
Inferno, it's all about. Well, it's actually touching on a very good subject of like we do so much to save the world and technology now means that humans are living longer and we can cure so many diseases, but the impact on that globally is that we're also running out of space in the world and everything is like getting stressed. So it's sort of like I think some terrorists are attacking, trying to lower the population of the world for the good of the world.
Yeah.
And it was just an interesting debate, and the book was really interesting, fast paced.
See, that sounds like something I would be. I'd be like, you know,
and it's Tom Hanks. It's Tom Hanks.
You can't go wrong, can you?
So I'm obviously so excited that he signed on when he came back and
he's got a new film coming out now. Tom Hanks, isn't he? Was it the one where they has to land the plane, Hudson River?
Oh yeah.
What's that called?
Tom Hanks, and in his movies, he gets stuck everywhere, doesn't he?
Never travel with Tom Hanks.
No, exactly. On a boat,
that's
on an airplane.
That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Tom Hanks is absolutely going to screw you if you go on holiday. Don't do that. Well, thank you so much, Lucy. We're going to pop on another song now, and we hope to have you back next week.
Yes.
We'll go off and do our homework.
Yes.
It's so exciting.
Thank you for having me again.
Club.
I know.
It's amazing. All right, thank you so much. So, I'm going to play a bit of Prince now.
Oh.
One of my favourite songs. Can you guess what it is? It begins with P.
Purple Rain.
Yes, it is. All right, we'll see.
I'm looking at it on the screen going, is that a rhetorical question? Do you want me to answer it? Just right fucking there? Or do you need to leave it for Lucy to get? Like, come on.
It's Prince Purple Rain on Back Row and Chill.
Pain. Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, then and now. We're going to play then and now, okay? Yeah. Favorite film when you were young? I'm not insinuating that you're old, but you know.
No, I got it. I know where you're going. You didn't have to throw that
younger.
In. Bastard. When I was younger, I think I had two films that I love. Of course, I loved Star Wars when I was younger. Yes. I was blown away by Star Wars, blown away by Star Trek. I remember watching with my dad Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Wow, yeah.
And that was one of those kind of movies that was intellectually so far above me for that age. Yeah. But I just remember getting into the movie and be like, it took me away. Even as a kid, it held my interest.
Yeah. I was a Goonies man. Remember Goonies?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you guys.
I know, but I look like the Goonies, so I'm skipping over that.
No, you don't.
Thanks a lot for saying that. Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
I could be the Goonie. Yeah, yeah, I know.
And
thanks.
Favorite film now, you think?
Favorite film now? Brotherhood.
Oh. Yeah. Which, by the way, is
number two in the box office. Yeah. I think I've it's funny. I've had some films that I absolutely love, and it's funny. I tend to go towards like Eastwood. My favorite of all time is Unforgiven.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite films because of the character was so awesome. Because even though he's there and he's trying to change his path, but he's done Outlaw Josie Wales and Two Mules for Sister Sarah. So you had no problems accepting the fact of this character's past, that William Moody was a bad son of a gun who tried to change his ways. And then Gene Hackman was so amazing being that bully and the way he went after English Bob and, you know, that the whole synergy they were doing there where Gene Hackman was the aggressor. He was the intimidating one. He was the bigger alpha.
Yeah.
And then Eastwood's sick. He's got the flu. You know, the kid's trying to be like Eastwood, but still has a soul. So, you know what I mean? Even though he shot the guy in the toilet, you find out that he's never killed anybody before, and he realizes he doesn't have that black heart to do it. So you see that human side, that human gambit. And then when Morgan Freeman gets killed and Eastwood has the drink, you see the change. I got goosebumps now. You see the change come over his character where it's almost like, I'm done. I'm not playing around anymore.
Yeah.
And then you see how things change where Hackman, who was the bully, now ends up like all bullies. He's on the receipt because he ran into a bigger alpha.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you saw the fact that Eastwood didn't have any remorse.
Yeah.
He didn't have any soul. It was just, you're dealing with death and death has showed up and called your number. And I love that movie for that. So that was my examination of Unforgiven. It was a little deep. That's it.
Previous film, what's your favorite previous film that you've done?
Film that I've done? Actually, my best work, not that it's that extensive. I love the work I just did with the Soska sisters in Vendetta. It was kind of a quick movie. We shot it in 3 weeks, which is fast.
That's probably what I was shooting, right?
Yeah, that was an opportunity. I worked with Dean Cain, who I don't know if you guys know Dean, but he is absolutely amazing. I had my first death scene. And we were running out of daylight, and it was the last shot of the day that we were doing that day when I die. We have one, basic because of lighting, we have one shot at
being
it.
There.
One shot at it, you know. And I've never died before. I've got, you know, all this stuff to do. And so Dean ends up slicing my throat while I'm on top of him about to shoot him. He's got a knife hidden, and he cuts my throat. So I got to grab my throat and bleed and then fall off of him. Because at the end, because I had beaten his wife and killed her by hand and tortured him, I've been the bully. Now that my throat's cut and I'm bleeding out, the tables have turned. He's going to be above me, put a bullet in my head, kill me. Now I get to be afraid and vulnerable, which I haven't been the whole movie. Which, you know, as an actor, that art to go from to afraid is cool. Yeah. But as I'm on top of him dying, I start to fall off and he holds my hip. So I'm wrestling. I get it. He's giving me the office.
Yeah.
And then when the time's right, he pulls on my jeans a little bit, and then I fall off of it. So then we finished the shot, and the girls were like, oh, that was awesome. That was perfect time. I was like, my man took care of me. But he was that kind of giving actor. Like, it was a prison movie, and, you know, it was low budget, but we did what we could do with it. But he did all of his own stunts. He took the beatings every day. Yeah. And it's really amazing because he set the tone of how a good lead actor sets a tone.
100%.
Nice to everybody, shows up on time, can-do attitude, works his ass off. And the set was so amazing, the way everybody worked hard, because the lead actor set that tone. And that was one thing I learned right away. Like, that's the kind of actor I want to be, a guy that works with everybody, that says hello to everybody, that works well with everybody. And, you know, if you do have an attitude, you do have an attitude, you have it at home in the hotel room by yourself, and you kick the shit out of the pillow at home. I enjoyed working with him so far the best. I mean, every experience is unique. When I did Knucklehead, Michael Watkins was directing that. Right. My first director.
Was Knucklehead the one where your character was a bit...
I was a bit. I'd grown up in an orphanage. I wouldn't. I, you know, it's not like Tropic Thunder. It's not like It's not like Tropic Thunder. I didn't go full.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
Michael
Watkins, my first director, meeting with him. I meet Michael Watkins. He's, you know, Easy Rider. He's done all these amazing works, NYPD Blue, and all these shows. He's a hell of a director. He's a little crazy, but a hell of a director. Yeah. He comes in with a straight face. He says, "I got two rules: know your lines and show up on time." Yeah. And he walks out.
Yeah.
And I was like, "That's it? Oh my God!" So I know this script. I know I know the DNA of this script. Like, we didn't have a title for the movie. It was called The Big Show Project. Yeah, we didn't even have a title for it yet. So then, when I get on set with him, I spit the lines out, and he comes over and he says, "Listen, you know the character. If some of the lines stain your teeth," which is a great line, he says, "Put it on how Walter would say it. It's a be Walter.
Yeah,
you know Walter,
right?"
So then he was so kind. I was like, okay, where's that crazy guy? About 3 weeks ago. This is cool. But with him, I learned a 1T, 2T, 3T, 4T shot.
Yeah.
He taught me all the Little Creeps and Mickey Rooney and the Martini. Like, I learned a lot of the lingo because I just sat next to him at the camera and learned. Right.
So speaking of that, do you feel like, is there a director that you would absolutely love to work with? And learning so much from, as you just described, do you think directing one day, whether it be WWE programming or whether it be movies, is something that you'd like to go into?
I don't think I would have any aptitude whatsoever for being a director at this stage. I am so green. Yeah. I wouldn't even want to try to venture into that field. Directors are amazing because they actually picture the entire movie in their heads. That's an ability that I don't know how, if I have to be able to do. The relationships they have with their crew to motivate their crew. Yeah. Which, you know, a movie is based on its crew. You live and die by your work efficiency of your crew. Okay. I don't think I'd want to undertake that pressure. You know what I mean? As far as directors, there's so many great directors out there. But, you know, you have your dream director. Yeah, I'd love to be directed by Clint Eastwood someday. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'd rather have I wouldn't mind having a donut and a cup of coffee with Clint Eastwood. Yeah. I wouldn't mind scrubbing Clint Eastwood's toilet. I'm fine with whatever. I just want to hang out with Clint Eastwood.
Near Clint Eastwood.
Scrub my toilet.
Okay, yes, sir.
Go ahead and do it, sir. I'll do that, sir. But, you know, I mean, you know, that's one of those kind of things where you want to work. I mean, I'm open-minded. I want to work with anybody that will help me become the best actor that I can be, get the best performance that I can, and willing to take a risk on me. Because here's the thing. I'm very coachable. I've been an athlete my whole life.
Yeah.
So I'm used to running offenses, running defenses, whatever matches we need out there, hitting time cues. So I'm used to following directions and instruction. And I think that's one thing that I do bring to the table for a big guy is I'm very open with my other actors. I feed off the energy of my other actors that help me put me where I need to be. And when you get that synergy flowing, I'm getting the cusp of it now, but you can really see where great actors have that magic and it's done right. So that's the entertaining part for me. That's the part that I want to be a part of. And someday, maybe get into some live theater acting and stuff, which is kind of like wrestling, but theater I think would be good at some point.
This is one of the best theater shows we ever see.
Yeah.
Aww. Thanks. Wendy Mallard's a good buddy of mine. She was a knucklehead. She talked to me all the time. What was the movie she wanted me to redo? Of Mice and Men.
Of Mice and Men. Wow.
Yeah, she wanted me. She says that would be a good one for me. And she said I would like theater acting because I'd have the, you know, when you're in front of a crowd, you have the instant gratification of your audience.
Yeah.
Films is completely different because you don't know what you did, and there's some editor that's picking something that he thinks is good. Because sometimes you watch and go, that other one was better.
Because
I don't watch, I'm not a watch my dailies kind of guy. Because I wouldn't know if I did something right or wrong. Yeah. Anyway, I trust the director and my other actors and my gut. And then watching again is not going to help anything but keep me up all night, question it, you know?
But honestly, man, you know, this is like theater. I've done theater. You know, I've done theater. Did theater for years before I started making movies and directing movies and blah, 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 blah. If you think, you know, you're saying I'd love to do theater, you guys are doing it and doing it well. So
fantastic.
I think you're probably a lot closer than you actually think.
And you're performing tonight, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Big guy wearing spandex. Yay!
And we'll spot you. We will watch you.
Good deal. That's it.
Man, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Congratulations on your movie.
Thank you. Fantastic.
I look forward to catching it.
Yes.
I'll be back in the States next week, so we'll check it out.
We'll see.
But thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
This has been
Fubar.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on Fubar Radio. Fubar Radio presents...
Brian and Sylvester Incorporated.
Do you remember femidoms?
I don't understand how it works.
Can you read out some of the instructions?
First of all, find a comfortable position for inserting the condom.
Mm-hmm.
Squatting or with one leg raised on a chair.
Imagine that, like when you're just about to go in and you see your gal like squatting.
One leg up on the chair, like she's about to sing an acoustic song.
And just dipping your head round the bottom. Can you get a femidom and bring it next week?
Yeah, sure. Let
me please, actually.
Cancel the order because apparently during sex they make a rustling noise. Someone described it as fun with a windsock.
Every Wednesday.
Hayden and Sylvester Incorporated.
From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Woo, guys, we're back. That was, if you're just listening, that was mine and Noel's interview, second part of the interview with the wrestler, The Big Show. We went last week down to the O2 Arena, we watched the live show, and we got to speak to him, and he was a legend.
So jealous.
Right, we've got another legend in the studio now. We've got, finally, Doc Brown. Woo, thank you so much for coming in.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure on me now that I know the show's called Back Row and Chill. Like, what happens at the end of this show?
Well... Exactly.
You have to wait until.
You have to wait and find out.
No one ever told me that. Boys like that.
I know. But, well, originally, when we were like thinking up ideas for the show, Noel was like, "I think it should be called Fingered in the Back Row." I was like,
"Wow, okay,
wow."
I never knew that.
There's nothing left to the imagination. At least Back Row and Chill. There's some kind of.
Finger
subtext.
In the back row, you know what you're
finger
getting.
Finger in the back row, yeah.
I was like, well, that's an option, Noel. Or we could maybe go for like Netflix and chill, kind of like a back row and chill. Mm. And then we...
Were you the one that made that decision?
I came up with back row and chill.
You can tell that Noel's my age, though, because fingered in the back row was definitely something we did in the 90s, you know? that was definitely a pastime when you could still smoke in the cinema. Yeah,
oh,
man.
Oh. Back in the
them
day.
Days.
Them days. What was your local cinema? Where did you go?
The Odeon, Willesden Lane. It's on the corner of Willesden Lane and Kilburn High Road. It's like one of those mental churches / bingos now.
I've seen them.
Love them places.
Yeah. it actually got shut down because there was like a rat infestation.
In the cinema?
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, around about 92 or something like that, 93.
Oh, a rat infestation.
It was the first place I ever saw. I saw my first 12. I saw Batman, which actually was the first 12. That's how fucking old
really?
I am.
It was
Batman
the first
was the
12
first 12.
Ever.
Yeah, first ever rated 12.
What was the first 12 you saw? Like, did you ever sneak in under age of 12?
No, because I was going to see 12s and 15s when I was 10. Because they just saw the wheelchair and went, let him through. How can we tell?
Yeah, they don't say shit to
they
a wheelchair.
They don't say nothing
ever.
To me.
Hey, I
was buying fags at 7. Yeah. I was like,
I remember when I saw, I think it was called The Perfect Storm, and I was 11 years old, and my mum took me, and she was so nervous about lying that I was 12. And like, they didn't even ask my age, and she went, she is 12! She is 12, you know? I was like, mum, keep some chill!
I don't remember my first 12, but I remember my first 15, which was Found Destination.
Ooh, at the cinema?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember what my first 15 was. Do you know what's weird? Is still, if I see something with a label 18, I go, oh, not for me.
Really?
Yeah, because if it's too violent, I'm just a bit like,
love
eh.
Them ones.
Like, horror film wasn't me.
Imagine having a rat infestation in your cinema. That brings a whole new effect to a horror
film. That's like horror film
live. I think
shit
was just, you know, like, first and foremost, I mean, I know a lot of people that I meet now in this world of the media, they, you know, they maybe were born in the 80s, but if you were a little kid in the 80s like I was, shit that you remember, like, shit was just not, it wasn't really built for like family friendly stuff, or like health and safety wasn't the the utmost of, in people's
you're
minds
smoking like. On planes
yeah
like,
we didn't have
sounds...
there weren't seatbelts in the back of cars in the 80s, do you know what I mean?
Really?
that sort of tells you everything you need to know about what adults, like where their focus was.
Yeah,
yeah. Back
it was like
then.
Good luck kids,
you know. Yeah, just
good
crack
luck.
On
brace yourself
as, long, as long as I survive, I'm the breadwinner, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So
assume a cannonball position and good luck. But yeah, I know everyone's got a bit too health and safety now, I think.
Yeah, it's too far now, like, because you know, like I got kids now, and you know, I think the world is too like child centric,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can't wrap kids in cotton wool. They got to experience the grit and the grime of life, because
totally
otherwise
agree.
They're not ready for the world when they should be.
Yeah,
you
I
know.
Agree.
You don't want to. You don't want to like wrap your kid in cotton wool and then they get to secondary school and they just get wailed on like every day,
it's
because
gonna,
they just
yeah.
don't
they
know
no
about
clue.
The world.
They
yeah,
no
they're not
idea.
Ready.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally
so,
agree with you.
there you go. I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm sure our listeners will have different ones, but that's how I feel.
Well, if you do email us in, we'd like to start a conversation. Studio
tell me how irresponsible a parent you are. Email us studio at fubar.radio, whatever it is.
So you have recently been in a cinema movie yourself as well.
Yeah, my first big movie. It's an amazing moment for me, really. You know, I know people say, oh, your life must have changed. It doesn't really, because nobody really watches shit anymore. Like, everyone just passes by. Have you seen it? Nah, I'm just watching this thing on Netflix or whatever.
Literally going to give up and be an actor now. You've ruined it for me. I'm going to go, fuck it. I'm not going to act anymore. No one's going to watch it.
My own personal professional point of view from when I was a little kid, that was a dream, you know, to be on the red carpet and to be in a movie, a mainstream movie.
Yeah.
And that's happened now. And I feel like if I never do anything else ever, like I've always got
ticked
that.
It off.
Yeah, I've always got
so
that.
So what was the movie that you were in?
Oh yeah, it's called Life on the Road. David Brent, Life on the Road. It's one of those one of those like colon movies, you know, where you got like the first half of the name and then a colon and then the second half.
How did that come about? That you getting into that?
Me and Ricky have been working together for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. He saw me on YouTube and got my contact details and called me up. The wonder of the modern age, and I started opening for him at stand-up gigs, and then from that point, you know, when he realized, okay, yeah, you are funny, like we started having beers and stuff and talking about stuff, and it was that time, 2012, he was developing Derek.
Yes.
And he was like, look, you know what, I've written like 2.5 episodes, I need to write 6, and like I think like we should just somehow try and crowbar you into an episode, like just work out a character that would work coming to the old people's home. And we were on tour in Scandinavia, and he said, look, when we get back to London, just come round and we'll put some ideas down.
Come over for
and a
cuppa.
It was so surreal, you know, because you know, when The Office came out and I was like, whatever, how old was I? I mean, wow, damn, it's 15 years ago, The Office. 15 years ago, so I was like, what, 21, 22?
Yeah.
And, you know, at that age, you see a comedy that strong, it's going to live in the memory.
Sure.
Long. And, in fact, it actually changed the nature of comedy. There's still comic actors now that I see that I think, yeah, you're just doing Gervais. You're just acting like everybody acted in The Office, which Gervais created. So to meet him was one thing, to open for him at his gigs was another, but then to come back to London and just like go around his house and just work out ideas and for him to go, what do you think of this, what do you think of that, it was insane. But now, yeah, it's like 4 years later and we've worked on so many different things
together. Such a lovely guy,
Ricky. It's like second, yeah, that's the craziest thing, because everybody's like, he's so good at Brent, he must just be Brent, and it's just like, no, he's just fucking good. He's good.
I've been acting for 9 years now. My first ever job was Life's Too Short, which was Ricky Gervais and Warwick Davis.
Yeah, of course.
And I did one of the episodes of that, and talking to Ricky after we'd done the filming, I was like 11 year old, I was like really impressionable, I was like wanting to get into acting. He inspired me to keep going. And 9 years, I'm still here, I'm still doing my acting, I'm still going hard, and it was Ricky that helped me get there.
Well, he's, you know, I think, you know, the fact that he pushes boundaries and, you know, he'll take the piss out of disabled, he'll take the piss out of black people, he'll take the piss out of religion, he'll take the piss out of all of these things that we're a little bit sensitive about. And the easiest thing to do is, oh, he's like a prick. He's a prick. But maybe he's just starting a conversation. Because if you actually look at the people he's worked with, and I include myself in this, who else is just plucking like a black rapper, comedian from obscurity and going, yeah, star in my movie. Do you know what I mean?
Because
Ricky, he doesn't really see people like that. He understands how everybody else sees him, and he takes the piss out of that. Similar to how Sacha Baron Cohen used to do, you know, but maybe even a little bit more subtle, because I think there's still people who think, oh,
think
Ricky's
dick,
just, you're a dickhead.
They don't understand.
Sure, yeah.
You're just being provocative for the sake of it. I don't think he is. I think he's opening up these discussions, opening up these debates, because it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing.
And what was it like filming the movie? Like, where were you filming and what was your role?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, that movie was probably... At that stage, I got a firm foot in the sort of TV door, and I was doing a lot of drama and a lot of comedy, and it's probably my 14th or 15th time on a set, you know, shooting continuously. and it was easily, and to date is easily, the most fun I've had on a set. Because firstly, Ricky doesn't work beyond like 4 p.m. He just wants to go home. And the industry just loves him for that. They love him for that. You finish early, you start late. He never does more than a couple takes of anything because he just doesn't want to kill the laughter, the moment. So there's a lot of improv. There's a lot of messing around. But you still feel like there's somebody in charge here who knows what he wants. So when you do two takes and he's like, I got it, you're like, oh. But then when you get used to it, you're like, no, he knows. And it made for a really fun set, you know. All the beers you see me and the band drinking in the film, they're all real beers, you know. Like, we just had a ball, man. We had an absolute ball from start to finish, and that was largely Ricky's direction, I would say.
I heard that's called a wet take.
If
you do like wet rehearsals and wet take, if you use actual alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if you're ever doing a show or a scene, I think you should always just do a wet take. Just why not?
Exactly, why the hell not?
Even if there isn't supposed to be alcohol in that scene.
You should. You know,
like, I mean, Holby City, why not?
Yeah, just carry your baby down the stairs.
It's a weird thing acting, because you should always know what you're doing and you should always be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you can also be over-prepared and you can also know too much. And when you know too much and you're over-prepared, I don't know if I buy your performance as much, because it feels like you're doing all the acting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're doing all the acting. You've researched, you've studied, you've learnt your lines to a T, and that's all good, but sometimes the most natural thing is just your instant reaction.
Yeah.
And the reason that you might have seen people, and I include myself in this, in Gervais projects, where they're brilliant in the Gervais project, and then they're kind of okay in other stuff, is because Gervais will, like, I mean, he employed that whole mock documentary concept of the interview, you know. So as a director, he'll sit there by the side of the camera and just ask you questions and get you to react naturally. And you know it's a comedy, so you're trying to be funny, but whenever, like, there were days when I'd sort of manufacture a line in response to him and he'd just go, nah, man.
Yeah.
I don't want your flipping pre-prepared jokes. Like, just react. And so he'd ask me harder and harder questions that I hadn't prepped for. And then when you just stop being nervous and you just answer them,
there's always that one.
The comedy comes out, but also you're not acting, because you just haven't got time to even think about that. So you're just like, let me get the voice of the character, and that's all you're focused on, just maintaining the character's voice, and that's it.
I love that.
And it's quite an interesting technique, actually.
Just be.
Yeah.
Just be.
I mean, look at the band in that film. None of them are actors. They're actual musicians, and he got them acting before they even realised what was happening.
Mm. So in the future, on the cards, would you want to do more? I mean, I know you've got it ticked in the bag now, but do you want to go back?
No question. I would absolutely love it. I mean, I've had so many amazing offers and auditions since the movie, which is really exciting, and I'm going for as many as I can. Nothing is guaranteed in this business. No. You never know how long you're going to be working
such
for.
Such a fickle business.
Yeah, so you make hay while the sun shines, you know.
Exactly.
So for now, 100%, if there's more out there, I will do it, you know, and then I'll pale into obscurity, just like everybody else.
Right, gentlemen, I have got a movie quiz, because we played a movie quiz last week with the Mandem on the Wall boys.
Right.
And it was fun, so I've prepared some more questions for you guys. So,
I don't know what the answers are to this, do I?
No.
No, I did not
see it. And you've prepared a couple of questions as well.
I've got two here.
Okay.
Just so I can play, otherwise I just realise that I don't get to play.
Right.
Otherwise,
so
I'm
he's
just
got two for you.
I've got two for both.
Oh,
right,
we're going to
out
this.
It's like a triangle.
We've got a triangle going on here.
It's a theme triangle, isn't it, in the show?
Threesome.
Ding!
Yeah.
Back row, chill.
Right, okay. Yeah. With Jack's triangle. Okay, right, first question. So I think maybe we should do some sort of, whoever gets it first could maybe do a buzzer sound.
Should we make up our own buzzer sounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
That could be quite fun. Be whatever.
What are you going to go for, Dot?
What do I have? I don't know what I've got on my sleeve. I'll go for the Cameron Fry raindrop. I'll go for the.
Wow.
Love yeah,
that'd
that.
Be my, that'd be my sound.
Beat that. What's yours?
I can't beat that. I'm just going to come up with one.
Just, okay. What about, I know.
It's really annoyingly. I know. Yeah, okay. That's mine. Go on, yeah.
We digress. The first question of Johanna's amazing movie quiz that she got from the internet is, in Star Wars, what is the name of the Emperor?
Never seen him.
You've Well, take a guess. Take a whack at
the
it.
The M.
Yep.
it's not quite abrasive enough, that sound. Yeah.
Sorry,
it needs to be like
anything then.
I think it's something like Palatine or Paladine or Palatine or Palatine. It's, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, I'm gonna give it to you. It's Palpatine.
I knew it was something
Emperor
like
Palpatine.
That.
Emperor Palpatine. Woo!
That's partial credit.
We got
you get that.
One
you
point
get that.
To you. Okay, here's the second question. And you guys can play along when you're at home if you can like email us in
if
you got it right, or just you know, see what you know. Second question. First female monster to appear in a movie. What was the first female monster?
Female monster?
Oh my God. To appear in a movie. Have a little think about that while I play some eerie music. Oh, yep. Yeah, what have we got?
I'm going for Alien.
Ooh.
The alien in Alien.
It was a female. Yeah. No, it's much further back than that. It's actually the Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh,
of course.
Okay.
Was the first female monster.
I wasn't classing her as a monster. That was a problem.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, question number.
I think if you have the hots for someone, you can't describe them as a monster. Maybe you can.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah.
I've got to say. Who dies in the fourth Harry Potter movie?
I've never seen
it. I know.
Oh, okay. Who dies?
Cedric Diggory.
He does.
Cedric I've never seen Diggory. Harry Potter. You know.
Don't, Doc. Okay, because we became friends just now.
Don't ruin
I'm
the
that
romance.
Much of a fan.
I've
of
never
Harry
seen one. But then, you know, I've never seen Game of Thrones. You know, I'm just
oh,
one
I've
of
never
those
seen
guys,
Game of Thrones,
you know?
Actually.
You know what it is? It. I don't do elves and gnomes and wizards and shit like that.
I don't do wizards. Gnomes, yeah, goblins. I'm not interested in that. No.
Lem goblins.
Okay. That's class.
All right. Okay. Well, all I say is that you're missing out because Game of Thrones and Harry Potter is one of my top favorite all time fun things.
No, just pass me by, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. So then maybe you're not going to get this next.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. This is a movie quote from a film.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what film and who said it? Follow the spiders. Why couldn't it be follow the butterflies?
I know.
Yeah, I'm out of this round.
That's Ron Weasley in Harry Potter.
In which film?
Second film.
Well done! Okay.
Two Harry Potter questions in a row.
I literally remember that.
Okay, I've got another
scene.
Fifth question. It's a famous movie quote. Okay, it's, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
No, come on.
Yeah, go on.
Gone with the Wind.
Yes! Okay, tables are turning. It's okay.
What's the score now? Like 3-1?
I feel like it's quite even because of Harry Potter.
Yeah, you guys
are 2-2.
Didn't I?
It's
yeah,
like
so
neck and neck and neck. Okay, yeah. this one's quite hard though. Okay. Which two actors directed themselves in movies and won Best Oscars?
We got to give you both.
There's two of them that did it, but if you get one of them, I'm going to give you the point.
I know.
So they directed themselves and won the Best Oscar.
Right. Wow. I think I might have an answer.
Go on, take a whack.
Clint Eastwood?
I was going to go for Clint, yeah.
Clint Eastwood?
Jodie Foster.
Actor.
It's a male.
It is a male.
Hmm.
Right. Was Clint Eastwood not right then?
Nope.
No.
It's a little bit older than that. It's an old...
Orson Welles.
Close. It's Laurence Olivier.
Oh,
he directed himself and won an Oscar, which is like shaking your own hand, isn't it? I was amazing, you were amazing.
I love that way of putting
it. I just like to thank myself.
I'd like to thank myself for directing myself, and I couldn't have done it without me.
That is the ultimate speech, isn't it? I just like to say I couldn't have done it without me.
You know you bossed your fucking life when you can say
good
that
night.
On stage.
Well, that was amazing. I think I think Doc actually won that one. Sorry, Doc, you won that one.
I don't know. I didn't get the right answer. So.
But no, that's thank you so much for coming. We're coming to close the show already. How did that? 2 hours just whizzed by. We've got loads of people emailing in being like so excited that you're here, Doc.
Oh,
they're saying
so
they loved
sweet.
You in Brent. He was the best for real. That was from George.
Thanks, George.
Other one saying, Doc Brown's back, yes! And where shall I go on holiday in November?
Wow, what?
That's
what
weird,
a specific
Chrissy.
Question
that's
to
a
ask
very
me, Chrissy.
Specific question, Chrissy.
Cyprus.
Cyprus.
I don't know. Is that
I tell you what, I went to a little island. Upstate New York called Shelter Island, which is part of Long Island. It's part
that
of that little series
like a horror
of islands.
Movie.
It's not. The complete opposite.
Oh, okay.
If you can work that out, Chrissy, it's a trip that you'll never forget. Shelter Island, Long Island, upstate New York.
There you go, Chrissy. Answered
Boom.
Your question. Well, thank you so much, Doc. Jack,
pleasure.
Thanks for coming down.
You're more than welcome.
An amazing show. I'm going to finish on my favourite song from the Brotherhood soundtrack. It's from Mr. Stormzy himself. I call him Mr. Stormzy.
Mr.
S. I called him Mr. Stormzy when I met him. Hello, Mr. Stormzy.
Did you say that?
Yeah. Later on, we're mates now, but...
Mr. Stormzy.
But this is the song Brotherhood from the film Brotherhood. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. We'll see you next Friday, 4 p.m, Back Row and Chill.
See you later.
Look. Yo. Half your man, them a locked up pistol, running butch. Them cold ass nights on the strip never done him good. Ride for my team and I ride like my brothers would. And we don't do friends round here, man, it's brotherhood. We don't do friends round here, 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 it's brotherhood. Yeah, welcome to hell. Bring your G-man, he's welcome as well. Tell police to release for my team, do it ASAP before I come felt on myself. So tell me, why do you draw me out? I keep on guard when I walk about. Old school beef for some old school use, but I'm real old school. I'll sort them out, I just done some things that I never intended. Fucked up streets, that's fucked up beef, that's never been ended. I won't act like I've never been tempted. Grab my gun and go to war. To grab my gun with no remorse. To catch the U and blow my torch. They call the prick and go to court. Nobody cares who you done back then. Round here, young G's don't think twice. Come to your block with a Big Mac 10. Yo, fuck boy, should've stayed inside. Man, don't care what your name on the road. Don't come round here thinking you're tough. We don't care what you done in 06. Just know real niggas pull your bluff. Yo. Half your man, them a locked up pistol, running butch. Them cold ass nights on the strip never done him good. Ride for my team and I ride like my brothers would. And we don't do friends round here, man, it's brotherhood. We don't do friends round here, 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 it's brotherhood.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.